So how can I, as a Jewess, feel a closeness to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? So some of you will say,
Davening,
talking to Hashem. Beautiful. Any other ideas? How else can I feel Hashem's closeness in my life? Beautiful. Reading books, learning Torah.
Listening to Hebrew music.
Listen, that's a new one. Okay. So, all of these are wonderful ideas. But I actually am going to go with Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus in the last story sheet. I translated for y'all. Writes the following. When do you feel most palpably that you receive life from a Kaddish Baruch Hu? That's when you eat. When you eat, that is mamish, the moment when we have the potential. I didn't say you necessarily do, but we have the potential to make this moment, instead of me just gulping down some apple juice, to make that moment a moment of connection. A moment where you feel like a Kaddish Baruch Hu is literally giving you life. It's true. Hopefully that's how we should feel. According to the Kabbalists, when you eat, it's called... Yeah. When you eat, it's called doing Beirurim. Okay? Levarer means, like Borer, we're actually separating onto ourselves, or bringing onto ourselves, separating the bad and bringing the good into our neshama. In other words, according to the mystics, this does not consist of apple juice. It has, just like there's H2O, it has chemical spiritual parts inside of it. And when I eat with gratitude, and when I say a bracha with gratitude, I'm breaking down those holy parts and bringing them into myself, okay? Each item of food that we eat has a special part called the Word of God. When God created the world, He put Himself into that food item, which makes every item exist, okay? In other words, Hashem said, let there be a sky, and to this day, that statement makes the sky exist. This table exists because God is right now saying, let there be table, let there be shulchan. So in every food, there's also the Word of Hashem. Okay, it's not apple juice. It's the Word of God inside of it, according to the mystics. So where does the spiritual part of the food go? The Word of God is returned to Hashem through the bracha, which we make on the food. This action is also an action of berur, where we break down the spiritual aspect of the food and send it back to its source. So Pinkus writes, very high level, the highest level. But the question is, how do we do this? So he tells you, step by step, very simple. A person must stop himself for a moment and say to himself, blessed is the God who made this food. God, if I don't eat, I'm going to die. It's true. If you do not eat, try it. Alex, try it at home. If you don't drink for a long time, you're going to die. It's true. You're going to die if you don't drink it. So this drink is literally bringing life inside of me. Yeah, but he's explaining, what does that mean, blessed is the God who made this food? God, if I don't eat this, I'm going to die. The drink is also tasty, and it's bubbly, and it's sweet, and it's healthy, and all this you gave me so that I should enjoy. Why do I deserve this? It's chaste Hashem. If you do that, okay, maybe you won't do it quite as dramatically as I did it, but if you do something like that, instead of just jumping straight into that act and making it almost an animalistic act, but I jump into it with a little bit of stop. Wow, this is a gift to Hashem. This is amazing. I'm so excited to drink this. Then you have just done the greatest tikkun, and you have just brought a little bit of God's presence into your life. The idea of the bracha is that I'm bringing this gratitude into myself. It's true. Most of the time, then you've still done a wonderful thing, and you've done a mitzvah, and it's great. But I'm encouraging us to go further, to understand the deeper meaning behind the bracha, And to understand the meaning of the bracha is to stop for a second before we indulge in the physicality and to feel that it is a gift from God. And that's good. And that's a beautiful thing to do. And I think you're doing a great tikkun. Is it instead of the bracha? No. You're still obligated to do a bracha. Okay? But two separate things. There's the idea behind the bracha, and then there's the actual, and this is what so many people miss, is the actual, when I'm thinking, when I'm drinking, when I'm eating, to feel like this is a gift, to feel Thanksgiving. That's why I chose to do this year, this week. Okay? Because tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and Rosh Chodesh is also a day when we have a special mitzvah to eat something special. So this is a perfect time to bring Thanksgiving into our lives, not just on a once a year level, but every single day, 100 blessings a day, are 100 different opportunities to feel the in the most palpable, strongest way possible, God's presence in our life. Okay, so far, to sum up what I've said, is that if you want to feel God's life, God's presence in your life, everything you girl said is great. But Pinkus has another idea. How do I feel God's presence in my life? When you eat and drink. What? Sorry? I didn't hear what you said. Absolutely. I'm not coming. I'm not coming to denigrate any other forms of getting close to Hashem. If that helps you feel close to Hashem, then all power to you. As long as it's within the Torah, go for it. But I'm giving you another tip to bring more simcha, to bring more joy into your life, to eat with gratitude. And to recognize that when you're eating with gratitude, you're doing something very holy and very special. And in fact, and this leads me to part two, it may be the most important thing we do in our entire day. Now, that's a pretty bold statement for me to make, that eating and drinking with gratitude and holiness is like one of the most essential fixings that a Jew can do. But I think I have a source to back me up. Can you girls help me out? Where might I be getting this idea that eating and drinking is essential to being a holy Jew? Okay, I'll put it a little differently. What's the first mitzvah that mankind is obligated to do? So Rosh Chodesh is the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people, but it's not the first mitzvah that was given to mankind. What was the first mitzvah that's given that God tells a human? That's to the Jewish people again, very close. But I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about humans. Think about Bereishis.
Is it Adam with the...
Yeah, Adam with the... That's the second mitzvah. Very good, Tammy. What's the first mitzvah? People get confused about this. The first mitzvah says... Achol tochal mikol etz hasadeh. Eat from every fruit. Eat the apple juice and the peaches and the ice cream. But what's the second mitzvah? Second commandment?
Don't eat from
this one. Okay? But the first mitzvah in the Torah is to eat. And the second mitzvah in the Torah is don't eat. So I didn't make this up. It's in the source sheet. Rav Tzadok Cohen Milublin, a great Hasidic rabbi, he mentions this in the second source. If you look back at our first and second sources on the source sheet, Achol Tochal is the first mitzvah. And Rav Tzadok says, "Davar zeh ha'etza harishona l'taken atzmo." The first way you should focus on fixing yourself is to focus on eating in the right way. Because Adam and Eve, the first thing that God commands them to do is eat. Eat, enjoy, but at the same time, don't eat everything. It's not all good. You have to know what you can eat and how to eat. And Rav Tzadok says something actually mind-blowing. He says something crazy. He says, you know what the fruit that Adam and Eve ate? You know, it's actually not about what they ate. It's about how they ate. Sounds a little crazy.
Wait, the first
Sunday. It says when Adam and Chava ate a fruit, right? And it doesn't say what the fruit was. So if Tzadok has a chiddush, he says it's not so, he says eating from the eitz ha-chayim is eating with gratitude. Eating, recognizing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you this food and it's a gift. And eating Eitz HaDas is when you eat like an animal. It's when you eat not thinking, when you eat just gobbling up food without giving it a second thought. Okay? It's a pretty crazy chiddush. It's pretty radical. But that's what he says. It's a beautiful idea. Whether he makes it means that literally or more just like as a nice idea, either way, that the idea he's trying to express is that the way how we eat is also important. Okay, now that I mentioned the Garden of
Eden,
Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin in his Sefer Eit HaOchel, which is a second source brought down, and he is a very wise and controversial and fascinating Hasidic rabbi. Okay? Tzadok HaKohen, he lived in Lublin, in Poland. You might, if you're going to Poland, you might visit his kever. He's quite a big tzaddik. Yeah, and that's what he writes. Okay? Now, I wanna take a moment, get on a sidetrack a little bit, and just say, so let's talk about that eating back in the Garden of Eden. So you're telling me, Rav Kalman, that eating is really important, and you have even a source that the first mitzvah given to mankind was about eating. But why? Why do you girls think that Hashem would make the first mitzvah all about eating? And there is no one answer for this question, but I'm putting it out there for y'all. What do you think? Yeah. Because you can't
live without it.
Okay, so it's so essential. It's going to come up so often in our lives, so we want to do it in a holy, special type of way. It's a nice answer.
Like ever since you were born.
Right, it's something that we're just naturally doing all the way, so the Torah wants to sanctify that. That's also a beautiful idea. Very nice. Any other thoughts as to why specifically God commanded them about eating? Okay, so let's throw some ideas out there. So Mesilas Yesharim writes in the third source, something fascinating. Why are we here in the universe? What are we here to do? What's it all about? So he writes, Yisoides, the foundation of foundations. Hine masho reinu chachamin en zirchama barachahu. Shadam lo nivra ela lihitaneg al Hashem. The truth is, Hashem created us to enjoy His presence. To get oineg. To get pleasure. Maybe you're going to tell me, wait a second, Rav Kalman. I don't know. I've seen some people and their lives are not that pleasurable. So, Mesilas Yesharim will answer you. No, you got it all wrong. God's a giver. He loves you. But he wants you to really enjoy it. So how do you get that real enjoyment? You earn it. You do Torah and mitzvahs. And we're going to feel the pleasure that we earned in the next world. This world is the time of earning the pleasure. And the next world is when we actually feel the oineg, the delight from that closeness of Hashem that we've acquired through mitzvahs. Right? That the reason why we're in the world, according to the Mesilas Yesharim of Moshe Chaim Lutzato, is to derive pleasure because God loves us out of kindness. But the time when we feel that pleasure is ultimately the next world. This world is primarily the world where we earn that pleasure and that closeness to Hashem. But the next world is the time when we actually feel that oineg. At this point, I don't know if I've said anything too radical. Maybe I have. And I hope that's a good thing too. But the Sfarim explain that this world too is also meant to be a place where we get pleasure out of Hashem. It's not only in the next world where we're supposed to feel pleasure. Here too, God loves us and we're supposed to make moments to feel connected to Him. Okay? And when is not the only place, when is the most fundamental time that man interacts with pleasure, with oineg? Eating and drinking. Back in Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, we say we're going to have an oneg. We're going to the oneg. Oneg means a time when you eat and drink. It's a time where Chazal understood that even though singing and davening is also, if you're a spiritual person, a great time to feel the closeness of Hashem, but not everyone's on that level. Not everyone feels the closeness of Hashem through spirituality. So the first way to get there is actually through this apple juice. Okay? But again, what's the key to switching this from just Stam apple juice to a moment of divine connection, of dveikus? It's all about our thoughts. It's all about, am I drinking this or stam, or am I drinking this thinking? Thank you. Am I drinking with the recognition of who is the source of the apple juice? Everybody got that? Y'all with me so far? Beautiful. Okay. And we're going to actually do this in just a few moments. So we're gonna practice what we preach. So the Shlach HaKadosh in the fourth source has a caveat. Okay, the Shlach writes, the Shlach, by the way, is a great mystic, Isaac Horowitz, and most of this year is from mystical masters and Hasidic masters. So the Shlach writes, Ochel dvarim hamutarim v'achilato l'shem shamayim. Important caveat. If I'm only eating for my own physical pleasure, then that's not the holy type of eating and drinking that we're talking about. Okay? So I can't just go out and have 8 slices of pizza and pretend that I'm doing it to get close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Now, how do I know if something is done l'shem shamayim or not? The answer is, you know, if you're having 1 slice of pizza or whatever it is, so then how are you going to feel afterwards? You're going to be willing and able to learn, go to night seder? Probably. If you have 2, also good. You're going to be happy. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to have energy to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and daven. If you have 6, how are you going to feel after having 6 slices?
Disgusting.
So can you justify and say that's l'shem shamayim? Obviously not. That's not for the type of holy eating that we are referring to here. It has to be done within reason. It has to be done within proportion. It has to be done, hopefully, somewhat healthfully. It can't just be only for if it's going to hurt my avodas Hashem in some way. Okay, so that's an important point that the Shlach points at. Okay. The Ma'or Einayim is the fifth source. I actually looked a really long time until I found this Ma'or Einayim. And I'm going to skip. I'm not going to read you all the Hebrew. I know I'm going to do you a favor. But on your own, we can steig it together, make a chavrusa, and learn this beautiful Maimar. But the Ma'or Einayim is the Rebbe Mivitebsk, also a great Hasidic Rebbe. And he says something that I've struggled with for a long time, and he helped me out a lot. He says, I'm going to skip to the bold. Ma she'atem to'amin, when you taste something, ro'in ki tov hu Hashem, and you drink that coffee, and you say, oh, God, you're so good, shehu nitzotz hakadosh, it is a holy spark, shebedavar ha'hu hamilubash bo. In that little spark, in that little coffee, Hashem is actually in that coffee or in that drink or in that ice cream. And you really believe, says that mazon ruchani, that this is actually spiritual food, shehu elukuto yitbarach, that this is Hashem himself. And you think about the inner spark of the food and the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you this as a gift. I'm actually raising this up to the highest level. Okay? So why was this Hasidic Maimar so helpful to me? Because there's some rabbis who just stress, listen, don't eat too much. Don't go overboard. And then if you have just, fast and eat only what's necessary, that's holy eating. But that's not what this rabbi is saying. Chaim Yevidebesk is saying, the Morven I'm saying, eat, enjoy. The world is a beautiful place and Hashem wants us to enjoy it. Just make sure that when you're eating, the eating act itself is a holy act by thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realizing that this is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the food is from Him. Okay? You don't have to, again, it has to be done within proportion, but you don't have to fast. You can enjoy and enjoy the beautiful world, just recognize where it's coming from. Mashal, let me give you a mashal, what it's like. Imagine one day, you guys are going to be mommies, and you're going to make a delicious steak dinner for your son. And you are so excited, and you put it aside in the fridge, and you're going to heat it up and have a delicious dinner, the whole family together. And you get home, and guess what? The steak's gone. So you go over to your little kid, some punk, teenager, and you say, Joey, have you seen the steak? He's going to be like, I ate it. and you're gonna be like, "You ate my steak," and you're gonna be angry. Now, why are you angry at Joey? I mean, you made that steak for him. So what's the problem? He ate the steak. Exactly. You wanted to use that food as a point to give to him. You want to connect to your son. And you want him to not be a spoiled brat and to appreciate that gift. You get it? So that's Hashem. That's why there's a mitzvah called the Achalta v'Savata uveirachta. Hashem does not want us to be spoiled brats. Hashem knows what's best for us, and he gives us a million opportunities to stop, get out of our selfish Kalmanisms, and say, wait a second, life is a gift. Oh my God, this is not just apple juice that I put a credit card and I'm going to chug down. Hashem made me this steak, okay? He loves me. I'm using, when I say that bracha, stop and say, thank you so much, Hashem. I really appreciate it. That's exactly what Hashem wants. That's the Garden of Eden. Hashem says, I want you to enjoy the food. And what does Adam and Chava say? They're that punk kid that takes the fruit and eats it without waiting for Hashem. They do the one food that God says you don't eat. They ate. Because they're using food as a way to connect to their physical side instead of to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? So, basically, the point I'm making is, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like Spider-Man, right? Is that before your time? Anyways, you're from the, okay, good, good. So you get what I'm saying? So what's the great response? What's a great power? Food. Food is the thing that we interact with all the time, and it has the power right here to be the greatest moment of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So then find a food that you do like. There's definitely something out there. There's something that out there. So go buy yourself something that you do like, and that's great, and enjoy it. But if we use food to connect to Hashem, then it's beautiful. But if you use food just for your own physical desires, then actually that same very act is going to bring us very far away from Kedusha. And I'm not saying it's technically the biggest sin in the world, but on a spiritual, mystical level, when I eat without consciousness and without gratitude, it really makes me feel disconnected from Kadosh Baruch Hu and lethargic. By the way, I think what I'm telling girls now is also the key to why Judaism is so obsessed with food. Think about it. How do we start off on our Shabbos? What's the first thing we do after Davening? We eat. We go back to the Garden of Eden and we eat in a holy way. What do you do on every holiday? Everything's eating. Everything's mama's eating. And now you girls hopefully understand a little bit more, because this is one of the most fundamental tikkunim, one of the most amazing fixings in the entire world. I'm not going to say my chida chocolate story again, because I've said it a few times already, but think back to my chocolate story and you'll understand that really Hashem cares about every little food that we're eating. Okay, so I'd con a little bit about food. I'm going to take 5 minutes to talk about gratitude in general, and then we're going to learn about brachos and drink and eat for the end of our little class. Okay. So, in my opinion, what we're talking about tonight is not just the most important thing about eating, but maybe it's the most important thing about all of Judaism. Okay? Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes in his beautiful Sefer, Celebrating Life, that if we had to summarize Judaism with one sentence, all of the rituals of Judaism, all the mitzvahs of Judaism, what's the goal behind every single mitzvah? Thanking Hashem. You got it. Exactly. And that's exactly what Rav Jonathan Sacks says. It's cultivating gratitude. Now, to explain, what does that mean, cultivating gratitude? It's not to just say thank you. It's to feel gratitude. That's the goal of life, because we can say a lot of things, but the idea ultimately is to put practices in our life which bring joy into our life by feeling it, and that doesn't come naturally. Again, you could be saying brachos from here till tomorrow. It doesn't mean you felt anything. Only if you actually stopped, recognized, contemplated what a gift this was, you know, and really tried hard to feel it, then you can actually feel some emotion called gratitude. Just going through the motions won't make it happen. You need to actually want it, okay? And that is the essence of a Yehudi. How do we know that the essence of being a Yehudi is gratitude? What's the root word of the word Yehudi? You just learned this. Right? Exactly. Toda. Thank you. Thank you is the essence of a Jew. And my dream one day is you girls are going to be on your college campus one of these days, and people are going to be like, oh, she's Jewish? You know what it means that she's Jewish? Those Jewish girls, they're the thinkers. They're the girls that are walking around all the time feeling gratitude. When after every class, they really say thank you to the teacher. After every bus driver, they really say thank you. After every friend, they're always, after every moment of life, they're so appreciative. They walk around appreciating life. That's the essence of what it means to be a Jew. Not that it's easy to do that, but that's our mission. That's our goal in life, to feel gratitude for God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring gratitude towards each other, and to teach the world to be grateful. And in fact, every single tour that I do at the Kotel tunnels, that's what I talk about. I talk about my mission is to that we walk away from this tour with more gratitude. And mostly I'm just talking to myself, because I want to feel more gratitude in my life, because gratitude, as well, we're going to have a lot later in the course, we'll talk about this, but it's such a fundamental key to feeling true simcha. Okay, with that little speech, I want to talk about bracha, okay? So let's talk about the words when we say bracha. Okay, the words when we say a bracha. A bracha, we might just think of it as an annoying thing that we have to say before we eat food, but actually it's an amazing opportunity to feel God's presence in our lives. The brachot were written by the same people who wrote the Amidah, the Anshe Knesset HaGdola. They were Nevi'im, Mordechai, Daniel, people who talked to God and instituted prayers with power. And a bracha is an opportunity to feel, with these beautiful words, Hashem's presence in our lives. Okay? Now, what I'm going to ask us to do tonight is a meditative bracha. What's a meditative bracha? Don't get too scared. It means we're going to say the bracha really slow. That's all it means. We're going to learn the meaning of the words, of the 10 words of bracha. And then we're going to breathe and say them really slowly so that we can really feel the words, and then we're going to enjoy it so much more. Everybody got the plan? Amazing. So let's quickly run through what the words of shakel, since that's what I got for you all, mean. Sounds good? Baruch. Baruch atah Hashem. Can you girls translate that for me? What does that mean, Baruch? So that's generally how people translate it. Blessed are you, Hashem. But there's another way to translate it. Baruch atah Hashem. You, Hashem, are the source of all blessing. Baruch is from a lashon of a brecha. What's a brecha? Girls remember from camp? Go to the brecha. The pool. Right? A brecha means, imagine there's a pool in heaven of blessing, of shefa, of godly love. And God is the source of all that blessing, and we're kind of channeling all of that blessing into our souls. So when we're going to say these words in a few moments, you're not just going to say Baruch, you're going to actually try to feel and imagine in your mind's eye blessing, shefa, flowing from Hashem's pool in Shemayim into your heart. Sounds good? You guys got it? That's Baruch. It's feeling the closeness of Hashem, feeling like Hashem is right next to us. By the way, actually, Hashkacha Pratis, I had a WhatsApp chavrusa with my friend Ellie today, and he randomly told me a new parish on bracha, which is really kind of crazy. He said, for him, he often uses a bracha as a prayer. Not that necessarily I feel God's presence, but I'm praying to God, I want to feel your presence. Baruch atasha, please, let me feel your presence. So you could do that too, if that feels more comfortable for you. Atah. What shall we think about when we say the words atah? Who? Very good. So, as simple as it sounds, has anyone ever actually thought about that? When I'm saying the words Baruch Atah, I'm literally speaking directly to Hashem. It's a little bit chutzpah. I'm literally going up there and saying, God, you're right here. Baruch Atah Hashem. But that's exactly what we're supposed to think about. We're supposed to imagine, like I'm just like I'm talking to you girls face to face, like friends. So Hashem is right in front of me. Atah. Zusha used to faint, they would say. Every time he would say a bracha, he would faint because he would feel like Hashem standing right next to him, so he would just pass out. So don't pass out. But imagine like Hashem is right in front of you. Huh? So Zusha is named after Zusha the singer is named after the Hasidic Rebbe Zusha of Anapoli, who's a famous Hasidic rabbi. And they say he would faint every time he would say a bracha. I don't know if it's true, but you get the story makes the point. Yeah, I know. He would just stop eating, right? It doesn't make sense. You get the point of this. Okay, and every time he said Moda'ani, the same thing, that he's standing for God, he faints. So it was a tough life for a physician. Anyways, Baruch Atah Hashem. What does Ado mean? My master. So that's very powerful. Who's the first person who called God my master? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu is the first person who the Gemara says felt a personal relationship with Hashem. He wasn't just a king up there in the heavens. He's my personal master. He's someone who, like a servant, could walk into his master's room at any time and ask shmooze. So when you say Adonai, you're feeling God's presence in your life. And you could say it when you're teaching the meaning of the words. Okay, so when you say Hashem's name, feel like I have a personal relationship with Him. Elokeinu. What does Elokeinu mean? Our God. Who's us? Jewish people. So we have to also feel like not only do I have a personal relationship with God, but we as a people, as a nation, have this beautiful relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're together in this one. Elokeinu. Melech Ha'olam. What does Melech Ha'olam mean? King of the world. Okay? So, what does it mean that God is the king? What are we thinking about when we say the words Melech Ha'olam? He's powerful. He's in charge of everything. He's the king. And not just of our little life, but of the entire world. Okay? And not just our world, the entire universe. Okay? And the universe is really big. All these galaxies and stuff like that. So, as you're meditating, you're thinking about it, you could actually just imagine all of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how amazing He is. And at the same time, Ha'olam is also from a language of Ne'elam. Ne'elam means, anybody know this? Hidden. God is hidden. Hashem is hidden from us. But how do we reveal His presence, even though He's hiding? We do things like saying a blessing, saying a bracha, and reveal God's presence in our lives, not just bracha or other ways, but God is hiding. But when we call out to Him, Ha'olam. Olam also means universe, but it also means that God is hidden. Okay, so the idea is that God is hidden in the universe, but when we reach out to Him, we can find Him. Ha? You guys get it? Finally, I know it's getting distracting. What is Shehakol? Nihiyeh bidvaroni.
Ha'al, shakol, al.
Everything, that's good.
Nihiyeh will be bidvaro.
So not shakol nihiyeh bidvaro literally means that everything happened with your speech. Because how did Hashem create the universe? With speech. So when God created the world, He put the world into being. Shakol nihiyeh bidvaro. The mystics explain that it's not just that everything was with Hashem's speech, but everything is. Right now, God is recreating the universe. Okay? The world doesn't exist except when Hashem decides to put life into the world. So you can also think about that when you have your ice cream. A little bit. That God is constantly recreating the universe. Okay. One last thing as I dish out. How many girls are fallacious? Bad timing, huh? I should have double checked first. before I got the ice cream.
Sorry,
girl.
It was really
nice. I'll save it for next week. If it's not a place tonight, we'll have another ice cream party, okay?
It was a really nice thought that you had.
No, purposely
not. Next time we'll find another bracha to say, and we'll figure
still
it out.
Made
yeah, well, there's still all of this stuff, so you could still do the bracha. You could say it without Hashem saying, say Baruch Hashem. Okay, so I'm gonna dish out some juice, okay? And if you want, take. If you don't, that's okay. You don't have to. And we're gonna do it together. One last thing: when we're actually eating, eat slow, okay? Don't drink fast. Drink very, very, very slow, because it says in this week's parsha that Esav said, "Ten li et adom adom hazeh." Give me that red stuff. He eats fast. The Chassidus explains that when you eat fast, it's a little bit like you're bringing Esav into yourself. But when you drink slow and you eat slow, then it's a miracle.
I don't like
it. It's okay.
No,
when we eat slow and when we drink slow, then we actually are appreciating and we're being more like our forefather Yaakov. Okay, you could also get water if you just don't want. You can take more ice cream. There's a lot. Those who are allowed to
have
ice cream.
It's so funny that water is so good.
It's so
funny that.
Okay, girls.
Love.
If you want to drink tape, if you don't want, it's okay. Just do the meditation with me without it, and that's going to. Okay.
Hey,
but don't drink. We're going to do the meditation.
Wait,
don't drink this.
Oh, I shouldn't drink it yet. Olivia,
I can't.
What's your favorite Ben and Jerry's
color? These are both great. So they're both Colby Strong. So they're
Ben and Jerry's
holy.
Is Colby
Hold
Strong.
On. Don't drink yet. Don't.
I didn't drink yet.
Okay. Okay, girls.
That color of, like, drink.
Focus. Focus. Okay, you ready? Girls, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit
down.
This is peach and this is apple juice. You can pour yourself some.
Shut up.
Okay, I need everybody to sit up, sit comfortably. Okay? Girls, I know it's late at night. We're going to be serious. And we're not going to giggle too much. And we're going to...
Wait, can you restart?
Our class is...
We're going to breathe, okay? So everybody, calm down and take a deep breath. If you want to take a seat outside and take a breather, you're welcome to while you calm down, okay? I'm glad they're getting a lot of simcha from the simcha simcha. Okay. Everybody close your eyes and take a breath. When you're breathing in, inhale slowly. And exhale slowly, slow as you can. Okay, you can also take a seat. Okay. I want you to take the drink or the ice cream in your right hand. And I'm going to lead the blessing. I'm going to say the blessing really slowly. Again, I'm going to encourage everybody to imagine what we learned about the meaning of each word. Remember that this is a very holy moment, maybe the holiest moment of the whole night, the whole day. Chod Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to say it as loud as me, but try to take it seriously. Say the bracha with all the gratitude you can, and eat slowly and make sure to enjoy, thinking with every sip, thank you. One more breath. And I'm going to sing it to the the Chanukah, the Nigin. Okay? Sounds good? It's Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nihyeh Bidvaro. Chai. How did it taste? Good? Is it delicious?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to save the ice cream for next week. And remember, every day, don't forget your assignment is to say one meditative bracha, a slow bracha, at least once a day. I recommend doing it the first bracha of your day. And Bezrat Hashem, next time we have class together, we'll start off with the meditative bracha. L'chaim. Have a great night.
My,
yeah, I'll find a way to save
it's
you.
Really better stuff off of the yeah,
it's I should have gone to the rebar next time.
Oh, yeah, do not.
I usually do, but because of my bike situation, it's running late. My last one. One is on top, so we can put it back. I'll put these guys back and the rest of
I'm sorry I left. The rabbi who taught the other class was my dad's rabbi in Hakotel.
Gotcha.
So he wanted me to sit in on his. But I didn't even know he was here. He's a sub. Because Rob Lerner's in America. So he sent my friend to get me.
Thank you for all the sources and everything.
You're very, very welcome. You're very, very welcome.
Of the Torah.
L'chaim, Baruch Hashem.
Thank you. No, it was.
You're very, very welcome. I appreciate your thanking me.
Can I see the source sheet?
If you want, I record a lot of the classes.
Oh,
so
can I listen to it?
I can. I don't have it on at me now.
Yeah.
But when I get a chance, probably tomorrow night or Friday,
okay,
to upload it, I will try my best to send you something. Okay.
On WhatsApp
or email or something like that.
Do you need help cleaning up?
No, I got it. I'm gonna take care of it in a second. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Rebecca.
No problem.
Have a good night.
Okay, have a good All right. Attenuate the best part of our day. Did Batya Rogoff make it in the end? You know?